This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, February 1st, 2010.
You want to go to the first? Thank
you.
Thank you for coming to our GPSA meeting and coming for the presentation of our distinguished guests, Provost Fox and Professor Lawler. So we'll be starting in just a few moments. I'll pass it over to Erica after she's finished eating, of course, digesting. So maybe our one point of business that we could start with is if there's anyone here that's new to our ranks, you could maybe just give a introduction of yourself, where you're from, one interesting fact about yourself, if you so choose. Anyone? New to our ranks? Sir.
My name is Matthew Chet. I'm from
the and I come from the Thank you. Thanks for joining.
Anybody else? Yes, go ahead.
I'm new too. My name is Nathaniel Decker. I'm the new GPSA rep from Sydney Regional Plan. And I'm originally from about 2 hours away from here outside of Utica.
Okay. Mr. Jordan, then.
Actually, I know there are a few more. Oh, go ahead. Yes? Great. Is it anybody else's first time here today? You've been here before. Right. Okay. Yeah. Last semester was very busy with the activity feed, but hopefully we'll make more time for a little bit more conversation and introductions at the beginning of each meeting. Okay. So yeah, I want to just thank everyone for being here tonight. We have quite a few things on the agenda. The first order of business is Provost Fox and Professor Lawler, and they'll be here to present on Reimagining Cornell and to give us an update on the task force reports that we submitted to them last semester, and they'll be prepared to answer any questions that you may have. So we strongly encourage you to ask as many questions as you can. They're actually still, I think...
First of all.
Okay.
We're all getting in the comfy chairs.
Then we'll have a few executive updates and some committee updates, and we'll also have presentations by the university librarian and from Cornell Dining, and we'll actually have elections today for two new at-large voting body members. So let's see. I think they're even teaching. I think we can do committee updates too.
You ready?
We're ready. Ready to go?
Yes, please.
Okay. My name is Ken Fox, and I'm the provost, but I've met with many of you before, so thanks for letting me come back. Professor Ed Lawler is going to show you a brief PowerPoint presentation that has just a few points that are encapsulated, captured in our real rough draft plan for the future. This is a plan that we have about 70 people, grad students, undergrads, staff, and a lot of faculty writing. And the finished document will be completed in the summer. So we're doing three things to engage with you. One is that Professor Lawler and I are meeting with 20 groups of people. You're number two. We just finished the hotel school. But we have 20 groups that we're meeting with in the next 3-4 weeks or so. And the purpose of the meeting, the purpose of the reason we're here, is we want to make sure you know about the document. Many of you have already read it and have provided some feedback. And then thirdly, to spend some time with you to listen to you, that Q&A. So that's why we're here. So after Ed makes, Professor Lawler makes this brief presentation, we'll come back and have at least 15 minutes. Thanks again for inviting me.
Nice to be here. Nice to be here. Nice to see you all. I'm going to do a little bit about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and then hit a few high points, and then briefly cover some of the material on graduate in the plan. Now I will keep it very, very brief. There are four key questions. You have to think of this as a Darwin-free concept of strategic planning. Four key questions you're going to ask. Who are we again? Where do we want to go? How will we get there? And how will we tell if we have? Probably any graduate students have to look up their academic career on the and there's a kind of key challenge that we've identified or stated in these terms, given the limited courses available to the SDG. How can Cornell preserve and especially enhance academic excellence? The structure and process of doing this, the how of doing it, involves a five-year council vice chair and an eight faculty student myself. There are four working groups. This group provided earlier in the fall a series of questions for these groups to look at and come back with ideas recommending suggestions. Objectives and goals and actions for this group. We've been drafted objectives and actions for three areas to complete the plan. This one is yet to be developed in terms of phasing and phasing. So we got feedback from them, we developed a draft, we gave it back to them, feedback, they came back, we also got feedback from deans and vice presidents and private groups. So that's where we are, that's how the current practice. Now, there are some highlights I'd like to just pull out. These red documents, which is some of it, that's quite a bit of two highlights. And then I want to talk a little bit certainly about the federal legislation. One of the important things about this plan is that when we get to Cornell and the state of the union, we're not looking at how to say or particularly to present. In fact, the plan doesn't really refer to or mention particular unions. It's really about Cornell and the particular unit as a whole. How do we want to put that as a group of goals over time? That's one thing that we see in the plan. A second is a priority of the development if it's one section in particular, the education section, but promoting and sustaining a culture of supportive teaching across the university. Part of this is providing graduate students greater in-depth teacher training and education while they're graduate students. Leadership and research. We're setting high aspirations broader terms, is public engagement. Doesn't mean moving away from the land management, it means incorporating it in a broader context of what the outreach initiative of the university is involving in our relationship, not just the national or the private economy. Back to the rules, that is a big deal because if there's one dominant challenge against the education, it's replacing the large number of retirements that occur in an increasingly competitive environment of higher education.
A lot of other planning work that's going on. We had the university of
library, and Kenny, our librarian, is here. She's working on all of our libraries across the campus, how we can have a more effective and efficient library. We have a really tight budget. College deans are doing the same thing. Student Academy Services is doing the same thing. There's a lot of planning that's going on. This, much of that planning is resides in our current economic challenge. A challenge that is greater for all universities than anything since the Great Depression. But this document is different. This document is trying to look way beyond that. It's not looking at the situation or the context of Cornell today, but it's Cornell in the future, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. What is it that we want to achieve in these areas of scholarship, education, engagement with the world? That's what we're looking at. And I should mention also that in addition to what's going around to these 20 forums, there are other groups that we're engaging. With college deans, as you might have mentioned. The trustees on April 7th are going to spend the entire day giving us feedback on this. So a lot of people are going to have input, even though they're not on the group of 70 that are writing the document. So let's open up the Q&A. Anything you want to ask? Yes?
Yes. Hey, I think on the previous slide there is talk about consolidating smaller programs under certain conditions. And I was curious what those certain conditions were.
So I'll give an answer to Dale. That'll be our protocol. What's been observed, in particular, as Ed said, as Zalala said, it just came out of the Life Sciences Task Force, which observed that we have a large number of graduate fields across the institution where there aren't many graduate students. We have some that have hundreds of students, and then some that literally will graduate one PhD every 5-6 years. And we want to make sure that's why. That there may be a reason for that. So the simple answer to your question is we haven't yet figured out what the criteria will be. And for a number of things in this document, it's not going to give the solution to the problem. It will identify something we think is a challenge or a problem, and then secondly, it'll say we've got to figure out how to address it. So what hasn't been identified is that we have, in some areas, not all, and not many, but in some, we have an array of graduate fields, and where there probably just isn't a critical mass, and we think that's not the way.
Thank you. Jumping off of that question, I know that the theoretical and applied mechanics program was recently absorbed. Do you have a sense on how that transition occurred and if it was positive for all involved? And just if you could speak of that.
Sure. So that was my doing when I was the engineering dean. And I did that 13, 14 months ago, just before I stepped down as the became provost. Set down the means of becoming provost. the reason that was done was, so there are many reasons you might want an emerging program, and indeed this document actually says that we should, not the graduate field part, but we should look at departments and units across this campus, and it might be for a variety of reasons, but we should, in addition to adding departments and programs as we do, we ought to eliminate some. We're good at adding things, we're not good at eliminating them. So in that specific case, the decision was made that theoretical applied mechanics as a department, which did not have an undergrad major, as a graduate field, just wasn't appropriate for the future of the institution in terms of the highest need or priority. When you have a department, it consumes some resources. A sister department, mechanical engineering, had a great need for an addition of faculty. The college didn't have the resources, so we took all of the budget of TAM and the faculty and put them in mechanical and aerospace engineering. Kept the graduate field, so you could still get a PhD in TAM, but eliminated the department structure over the protest of all of those faculty that were in that. So doing that, making that kind of a move, is one which is particularly challenging because rarely do the faculty in the unit that's getting absorbed or merged or eliminated, rarely do they want to do that. They spent their life building that unit. But it was a case where I, as dean, and the majority of the faculty, certainly not the
not the unanimous faculty, it's just not the fantastic felt that we're going to add things like biomedical engineering and focus in other areas that we had to eliminate something. So the process is still ongoing. We're still debating which faculty will be in what departments, but the result is certain, and that is we won't have a TAM department. And what I'm asking is that all of us in our colleges, in our departments, decide what is truly important. There are many wonderful things we can do there. We just don't have the resources to do all of them. What's the most important thing we should do in our grad field? What is the highest priority in terms of how we allocate our resources? Now let's do that. We've got plenty of resources to do the most important thing. We just don't have the resources to do all of the things that we'd like to do. Yes.
I was just going to follow up on this discussion of departments, and I think that often this can become, you know, very negative. We all have our particular stakes in particular departments, but I think as Rahm Emanuel has said, you can never let a good crisis go to waste, right? But that's more anyway. But I think there are a number of, as of course you hint at, a number of positive things that can come out of stuff like this, reduction of redundancy, things like that. I wonder if you might highlight some of those sorts of things.
Yeah, so first off, this document should be positive because it really is about the future. And the only thing I'm asked to do is to be aspirational, and the aspirations can be beyond our the reach can be beyond our grasp, but cannot be ridiculous in terms of the amount of resources. So we're not going to do that. But it should be positive, it should be aspirational. There is a whole piece of our planning where we're also working to try to be more efficient in our process. So I'll name a couple, and your eyes will start glazing over when I talk about these. But we're changing the way that we plan facilities for the future. It turns out the institution has never had a multi-year plan for its buildings. It never has had one. So we're creating, we promised the trustees that we're going to have a five-year capital plan, which will be a five-year plan for all big investments in capital, which are buildings, even, you know, big software systems. Mm-hmm. And we will add and delete things in that plan as each year rolls forward, but we'll have such a document that so people will know what direction we're going around the facility. We're changing the way that we, not just creating a plan, we're actually changing the way we actually now have guidelines about when a project can start. In the past, we didn't have those. So sometimes we would create a facility whenever we just hoped we would raise all the money for it. But now we've got guidelines when a project can come forward, how it has to be funded. We're changing the way we plan. We're going to actually change the way we do budgeting. We now have four different budgets on this campus, four of them. We're going to create one budget for the institution. It will be not just more efficient, but I think it will also be more effective. that will allow us to manage as leaders of the institution much more effectively, both in units as well as services. So we're, and then we're doing all this work to have these administrative savings as well. So there's a piece there. But we also want these aspirational things around education and scholarship in addition to this sort of administrative stuff. That's important. And that's my life, I think.
Yes. You said you wanted to focus research in the future looking for 20 years. I was wondering what you determined were these focus points for research.
You want to address that one?
I mean, what we were saying is the university needs to develop a strategy of focusing more without saying exactly where the focus in part because that is really a decision that should be informed by what exactly is on the in college and how the students in collaboration go across. But we're not saying exactly where to focus, but we're saying there's a real need to focus and to think carefully about where we're putting our bets in the future and be willing to change things, restructure, eliminate programs under certain conditions. Where it leads us toward that.
So it's unlikely when they started that it wasn't clear how they would evolve, and they may still change. I would guess that it's unlikely that this document is going to say that the molecular biology is the important area and these three areas are not the important area. But it will have specific initiatives that it will identify. It will have the mandate or requirement that we as the Cornell community identify what the priorities are. So we'll ask, you know, the deans of each of the colleges, you have to tell us where you're shifting your resources and what areas you're going to no longer work in. So it's unlikely they'll pick a couple areas. There was a document probably 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, that said the institution will focus on nanoscience. It'll focus on information science, life sciences. What was the fourth? I already forgot. Four areas. Material is an important one. Already, all of us, including me, obviously, have forgotten the materials piece. And that actually did drive a lot of investments. There, we have a nanoscience building. We've got a life sciences building. And someday we'll have a case hall for information science. But I doubt this document will say that. This document will talk about aspirations that we have to be a top 10 institution and how to broadly get there around excellence in research and education. Probably not, although they may still do it. Pick a few areas.
We will say something. We do, if this is not outline for now, we do say something about how to do it. There is, in the lifeline, or actually the advisory committee, not the task force, before that there are ongoing advisory committees that advise the provost and colleges about how to build strength in those areas. We do recommend taking that model and extending it to the other areas, humanities, the arts, super science, and engineering. So in that sense, there would be a mechanism for these kinds of issues to be incorporated as new recommendations.
And well, I think your current plan is to have one section that lists 10 or so initiatives that will have a focus.
So I just have just a follow up on your comment there. Question on how these things are going to be, who's in charge of implementing all these initiatives that are suggested by all the advisory bodies and the task forces that you mentioned? Because in general, I've heard comments from faculty that, you know, there was a task force 20 years ago and nothing has changed anymore.
I mean, that's a really good question. You do need an implementation plan on how that plan is developed. And I think Ken and I are talking about that. The whole thing is that the responsibility of the provost is to define how we do deal with your who's hard to do implementation.
Yeah, I want to see what they propose before I agree with them. But that document, first off, they will include metrics, timelines, things that we have to measure and benchmark against to see if we're making progress. But I agree with you that we have to have people or units that are accountable, responsible for execution. We will be held, I've already been told that I've agreed and I've encouraged this, accountable. So we will at least annually have to go through the document and say what parts are we making progress on, what parts are we not. So some will say, that was a terrible idea, that this was all I thought of, we're not going to do it, but we may have some new things. But we will be responsible, accountable. And we have to assign responsibility, but we won't do that until I think we have the document.
I just read over the draft for the strategic plan. Haven't what? No.
Okay.
not to that point yet. That point of rudeness. But I noticed that in the promoting educational excellence goal, in one of the objectives, it was stated that one possible goal would be to establish funds to provide summer salary or other forms of support to faculty with creative proposals for new courses that meet important educational needs. And then there was an objective talking about, as Professor Lawler just mentioned in his presentation, about creating effective mechanisms at the institutional level supporting the development of graduate students as teachers. And I was wondering if there was any discussion during the deliberations on the strategic plan that you're aware of about making any funds available to graduate students. I know at other institutions, peer institutions, there are competitions for graduate students to design courses, and there are, I think it's generally very small amounts of funds based on the number of students that are allowed, graduate students that are allowed to produce a course and enter this competition to see if they can actually teach and present that course. And I was wondering if there's any discussion of that during the process.
There are so few mechanisms we use from our sense for graduate students to be involved in teaching now that in some way we were focused on what needs to be done and we sort of recognize the area of our field. So I think that's an interesting idea, and I'll take that back over to
Thanks.
I think that the theme you mentioned of maintaining excellence with constrained resources brings to mind an idea of institutional sustainability. How do we survive? I wonder if you could comment on how environmental sustainability might fit into a large strategic document like this.
Environmental sustainability is an example of an area that we really have a lot of strength in and some momentum already built to move in. But we're not really mentioning particular areas in much of the plan, but that is certainly an example of a cross-disciplinary energy, which we do talk, when we talk about that energy, that's a lot of importance for the energy. So I think some of these changes or policies or approaches that implemented would help generate and nurture that area of the funder.
Were you referring to the sustainability of the campus itself in addition to research and education?
Well, for example, we've seen presentations about the campus commitment to climate neutrality. And a lot of the sustainability objectives and activities to date, in my opinion, tended to fall on facility services. It's buildings, the power plant upgrades, these are all very good things. But if we're talking about broad educational, whole institution kind of things, I think there are large aspects of the operational units of Cornell that haven't really been involved at all, and it's sort of been facility services does it. And I think it is, to follow up on Professor Lawler's point, it is a cross-disciplinary research opportunity for the institution, and I'm very interested to sort of see the next step of how specific areas of excellence emerge.
Well, are there any other questions? Just like to ask one other question. As far as diversity and inclusion, can you elaborate a little bit on that? Is that having to do with fellowships?
In the case of faculty staff and the basic strategy would be advocacy, as say people develop targets, explicit targets that we hold ourselves accountable to achieve or for. Setting targets is how you set those targets and what they should be varies with the content and also potentially gets back to certain areas. So what we have, especially what we're going to do, set targets, work on the processes and the capabilities back to the community from the beginning, from the start of the search, finding the position, which in turn finds the threat of the school, finding the position more broadly, and monitoring and working on the process along the way. We envision the same kind of effort in the case of the strategy. They have to vary because of the different parts.
This is an area where it will definitely be section devoted in the plan to this, and we really welcome your input. This is a broad topic. I'm encouraging that you would be as specific as possible, not just a generic feel good statement, but be as specific and so that we can measure where we're making progress.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and thank you for dealing with the ballot and projecting well. Yeah, we have this this PowerPoint presentation, Professor Waller's presentation is posted on our blog site, so maybe see Ben and he'll give you the address to our blog site because I don't know it offhand, and it's bookmarked or something, and so you can check out the presentation there, and the websites are up there if you have questions or comments that you want to post after the meeting.
Okay, great. So moving on to the next item on the agenda, we have executive updates. I will go ahead and start with my updates. I just want to announce, first of all, that after meeting with the communications committee last week, we chose a new logo. It's actually the next slide. Yeah, and so that's the logo there. We voted on it as a committee. We plan to use this logo on the GPSA blog and on Facebook. We're not quite sure about the website yet because we are checking on sort of logo copyright issues just in case, just to be sure. So we don't want to, we're not going to actually use it on the official website as of yet. But we plan to use it so that we have a unified presence on the blog and on Facebook. And we're also in the process of creating merchandise. So I'll talk about that a little bit later. I just want to remind you all. Yes?
As I was
making these slides, I thought that, but Brian's actually in charge of making these PowerPoints, and we haven't actually, but at least it's on this slide. So, anyway. you all got a link today to take a survey for representatives. We really want to improve this process, this election process. I know it varies a lot from field to field, so we kind of want to wrap our heads around it a little bit better to see how we can recruit more representatives and retain more representatives in the GPSA. So I checked before coming to the meeting, about 10 people had already taken it. So thank you for those of you who took it. And it really only will take 5 minutes. If you guys can just please take that and answer a few questions, it would be greatly helpful. So thank you. And okay, so yeah, going back to the GPSA merchandise, we are in the process of picking out mugs that we will use at the Big Red Barn for TGIF, and the whole purpose of these mugs is that we want to promote GPSA as an organization to graduate students, and we also want to promote sustainability, so encouraging students to bring their own mugs to campus and to TGIF. Yes, so I brought my own mug today, so we're trying to set the example and get students excited about it, and so we're choosing between different sizes. Right now it's looking like we might get a larger mug, so that's something that's in the pipeline right now. Also, we've talked about having the proceeds for that go to Haiti. So we're not going to sell them at cost. I think we're going to sell them below cost to you all, to all graduate students, and most likely all of those proceeds will go to an organization in Haiti. And we expect that this will be launched in mid-February, so keep an eye out for posters and stuff. A little bit more about Haiti. There's also a donation box at the BRB, which we set up last week. Ashwana, one of the people on my committee, went and put that box there. I'm not sure if there's a big sign on it yet, but it's near the register. So we are, when you swipe your cards, there's a box there, and it's for collecting donations. Yes. We haven't actually decided yet, but we'll talk about it in the next committee meeting. And it will probably go to one of the bigger sort of recognized and, you know, very legit organizations in Haiti. Anyway, okay, and let's see. And yes, we also talked about possibly trying to create a network of graduate students that are professionally interested in getting involved with the Haiti efforts, the post-disaster efforts. So Ben has agreed to be the point person for that. His email's up there. I'm not sure if you want to go ahead and give your net ID.
Sure, CDH32. Basically, there's a lot of different organizations on campus who may end up being involved in efforts in Haiti at some point. I know there's the Public Service Center, and the president has sent out an email, and we've got the medical facility in Haiti. So sort of one thing that I thought was unique that grad students could offer is that we could potentially be more than just unskilled labor. You know, it's not just a Habitat trip to build houses. There's certainly people involved in urban planning. I believe there's a class you were going to mention. There are engineering professionals who have backgrounds in drinking water or wastewater treatment. There are professional skills that graduate students could contribute. So I'm just offering to be a primary contact point, basically to build a database of people who are interested in skills they might offer. I'll publicize that a little bit more as I figured out what's going on, but I'll try and do some networking on campus to learn about larger campus initiatives we can plug into, and then I'm hoping eventually that I would supply that database to somebody else who is part of a larger effort. So, CDH32, and if you're interested in helping out with the database coordination effort, that would be great too.
Yes, there is a course being offered through City and Regional Planning. I think they met for the first time this weekend, and it's a seminar on Haiti reconstruction. So if you're interested in that, just check the roster online, City and Regional Planning. You can also email me at eg357. Okay, so that's all for my updates. I believe we have Vice President Operations updates. Brian's not here today, so Ben's going to be giving his updates.
Brian just basically asked me to give a blog update, so I suppose that's why he picked me. The two primary things, he spent some time working on the blog over the break and wanted to point out that he revamped the About the Beat GPSA section, which is in the top left there, to include recent meeting docs, so things like minutes and past resolutions and things you can get to there. And then upcoming meetings in the top right includes the agenda and the announcement of when and where the next meeting is. So that's an easy place to look and figure out where we're supposed to be for free food. Also, I'd like to point out that NASB logo there on the blog. I believe that's all Brian asked me to discuss.
Okay, great. Let's see here. Okay, so now we'll have some committee updates. Can you go ahead and move to the next one? Okay, first is Reach with events.
Okay, so that's me. So in conjunction with the Johnson School and Cindy Tong over there, GPSA is hosting our version of the version of Grad Night out for this month, which is a stoplight party. It's generated a lot of discussion, I've heard, so if you're interested, you should definitely come join us and feel free to spread the word and pass it on to, I will send out an email to all the advisory body so you can pass it on to your respective fields. From what I've heard, people are at least even if they're not excited, they're at least talking about it.
we'll hope the former.
What's that?
We'll hope that the former.
Yeah. And also, April 23rd will be Grad Ball, and we've started planning for it, so please mark that down in your calendars. It will be bigger and better than last year. And
the Haiti?
Oh, yeah. So there's plans are also underway to for another event later on in February or early March as a sort of a fundraiser for the efforts in Haiti as well. So I will tell you more about that probably next week.
Okay. The next slide, please. Thank you. Okay, so, yeah, that's me again. GPSA Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee. So we met several times last semester. I met with Fred Cowett, and I met with Dan Ross and Christina Copeland to talk about the various sort of things going on campus with regards to sustainability. So we're trying to sort of figure out what the role we want this committee to play, or even if we want a committee, rather than just sort of trying to, you know, what the best way to infuse sort of sustainability in GPSA would be. So this is still up and running. It's a lot of work, but we're trying to see, you know, how involved people can be. We also participated in Student Sustainability Summit and a tree planting on campus, myself and a few members of the committee. And we passed resolution, I forget which number, Lights Off Cornell. I don't know if Joylin wants to say a bit about that. Okay. I think he's looking to form a task force of 6 to 8 people. So if anyone's really excited about trying to get Cornell to be more sustainable with its light usage on campus, there's ways to get involved. So you can email Joylin about that. I don't know if you've heard, but there's also Big Red Bikes for undergrads going on now. And Tom Knife, he's in city and regional planning. He's also trying to sort of boost graduate involvement in that, see how we can get involved and also use those bikes. So if you're interested in learning more about that, please email Tom. And you can also join that book on Facebook. And I forgot to mention, there's also a new Sustainability at Cornell group on Facebook. We will be having a sustainability meeting next week. If you're interested in coming to that, please let me know. And there's also an upcoming USC meeting about a proposed teach-in for Earth Day on February 9th. So if you have any questions about any of this at all, please email me at eg357. And the last, so Ed Miles couldn't be here today, but he's been trying to move forward this ad hoc committee on mental health, and he's met with various representatives from Gannett and CAPS and EARS, so the different organizations on campus that deal with mental health. I believe they will be meeting next week, so if you're interested in getting involved with that, please get in touch with Ed. I think that's all we have for committee updates. Yes. Okay. So I would like to invite Anne Kenny to speak now about the university. She's a university librarian, and we welcome you today. Thank you for coming.
I don't have the PowerPoint.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for Ann? Yeah.
The Student Library Advisory Committee, is that affiliated with the GPSA, or is there a way we should contact? Yeah, okay. So then Brian would probably be the primary contact for any feedback there. Okay.
I just had a quick question. You said you were you decreased the number of books that you got from foreign resources. That
we're able to obtain fewer of them because there's only publishing and the cost. But yeah, generally there are fewer proportionately fewer materials being obtained.
So how would you picture that in the future to either go up or just meet the needs?
Well, so conceptually, if each university, if each of the major research libraries is collecting about 10% of the output from that country, if you really look at it, they're collecting the same 10%. And so while you may be able to adopt these campuses for immediate teaching and specialization, couldn't we start to pull our resources to expand that database of information that's being available and then expedite delivery amongst them so that we become more of a secondary and tertiary arrangements would make a broader amount of that material available to the community. I think we tend to compete over things and at the same time lose sight of
one more question.
You mentioned that some of the smaller libraries are under review currently. What types of what entails in the review process, and what types of options are you considering for those libraries?
They're asked to review broadly what are the needs of faculty and students, and then to consider alternative ways for maybe providing them. So, for instance, in the physical science library review, so much of the content was online, but there were notable gaps. So, were we able to redirect resources to fill those gaps? And where there was a need for physical collections locally on campus, could they be distributed to other libraries in the system? And then finally, the critical importance of study and group workspace within that particular building has to be ensured. That's kind of the
thing. Okay, thank you so much for your presentation. Okay, next we have the Cornell Dining Director, Gail Finnan.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. How many of you think you've been listening to free lunch?
Yeah.
Nobody thinks of consciousness. You all think there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? None of you think there's such a thing as a free lunch. How about the next one? Raise your hand.
There is such a thing. I believe there is.
You just got one. And you just got one.
All right.
Hey.
All right. Thank you for having me. I'm new to Cornell this time around. I was here as an undergraduate, came back a year and a half ago as the director of Cornell Dine, and I'm delighted that I could be part of your meeting tonight. I'm the graduate student in an awful lot of being in my department. So thank you. How many dining operations do you think I have in here? 25? Higher. Lower. 30. Higher. 32, lower.
31.
Who says 31? Now, this is not a free lunch. Go with slow. This is $5 off, all right? All right, we've heard people talking about changes. Cornell Dining is not exempt from changes. We contribute an awful lot to the university, and I want to spend a few minutes tonight telling you about some of the contributions we made. What percent do you think we contribute of overhead to the university?
16%.
17 to 40, too high.
10.
10, too low.
15%.
15, a little bit high.
13.
Who said 14?
I was so close.
I'm doing a lot that when you spend a dollar at one of the, how many places?
31
places, that about 14% of what you have just spent is going back to the university. That's pretty incredible. Think about it. I bet you didn't know it was that high. Probably didn't even think about it. Because I know probably when you say, oh, Cornell's prices are too high. Well, let's talk about that a little more. Cornell is committed to a livable wage, and we have employees that earn a lot more than the minimum. What do you think? Where do we start a dishwasher? Give me a figure.
$9.
How many?
Nine.
Nine. Higher.
Yeah.
Higher.
11
what?
11.
Higher.
13.
Lower. Lower than 13. Higher than 12.15. Lower than 12.75.
12.63.
Well, close to 12.50.
Alright.
Did you hire
grad students to wash dishes?
I haven't.
Okay.
That's better than we make.
Oh, no.
Alright, so, because Cornell University, as a university, is committed to that, we pay our people well. Now, unfortunately, we don't have work for them in the summer when you're all not here, so that money isn't always equating out the livable wage for them, and that was the big discussion last year. But right now, we pay more than some of our competitors are going to pay. And we certainly start people much higher than the minimum wage. We also have very good benefits. People that work here know that if you're a full-time employee, they're very, very good. So I've talked to you about livable wage, overhead, and we haven't even paid for a hamburger yet. Right? Yeah, well, we'll get to the hamburger. We pay for utilities, we pay for insurance, we pay for trash. Who pays for that over there?
Cornell.
Is it Cornell? Great! It actually isn't. But who do you think is going to pay for the trash to be collected from that?
Cornell Diamond.
I mean, we also train people to serve food safely. Thank you for being honest. And that is why it's very important to me that we train people to serve food safely to you. And we just trained 40 people to do that over the winter break. And these are the dishwashers. These are the servers. And we're up to over 200 people we have trained since I've been here with this. That costs money. But I hope it's making your food safe. So, have I bought a hamburger yet? No. I want you to know that we work very hard to give you food that we think is safely prepared, safely served, and that we think is good quality, and that we are trying to serve food in a competitive environment. I'm not sure that the rules are all fair and equal and the same, but it's close. So next time you think about my high prices, you might think, there are some extras in there. You were talking about the environment. I applaud that. We do a lot of composting on this campus. We do a lot of composting material. It is not budget neutral. It costs us still more money to give you a compostable plate than it does to give you a regular plate. So when we make decisions like that, we think are the right decisions? Not sure. Now, some of you, how many of you have never eaten a Cornell dining plate? So you all have. Great. If you have opinions, and how many of you have opinions? We all have opinions. We have a program called a mystery shopper for Cornell Dining Rock, and we actually pay people to give to us your opinions. So that's one way to, and we feed you. So if you have Big Red Box, I'd love for you to contact us, and I can give you this contact information. You could keep it in your, put it in your minutes or something. We also have jobs. Now, unfortunately, because
you wouldn't be represented by the UAW. It would not be $12.49. But we do have good jobs. My ex-husband is also a Cornellian. He loved working in food service. Two reasons. One, he got paid and he got to eat. But he also became, he didn't have to worry about engineering. He was an engineer, and it was just something that he thoroughly enjoyed. But to me, what I like to tell you about working in formal dining is that it is an environmental thing that you will take with you for the rest of your life. You meet people that are the heart and soul of this country that do a fabulous job in preparing food. Have I taught you anything, told you anything about Cornell Dining? I would love for you to tell me what you'd like me to do to help you enjoy my food more and something that we could work together to do. If you want to be on a, we have a sustainable committee. We have students. We don't have a graduate student on that committee. Maybe that would be something that you would be wanting to do with us. Any thoughts?
So there's a couple of things. I've always kind of thought about the dining. The dining hall to the university.
Yes.
I find it very interesting to go to. Now, I have two ideas about this. One, maybe offering a discount for that. Because I know that when I get my affiliate, I'm going to get $69 more.
But you can have as much of anything as Ridley's serving, and it's a string salad.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I don't know.
Interesting. I'm going to give you a
free one. And the other suggestion I have is that maybe if discounts can't come for a meal, there's maybe a meal plan that is more relevant to grads.
So, are you familiar with what we have now? Meal by design. I would love to talk to you, and I don't want to take everybody's time, but I would love to figure out something that might work for not just you, but other people.
I think a lot of 10 or 15 years a year might be better for gratitude.
Okay, and what I hear is that you don't want so much money up front. You don't want to have as much money, lay out so much money up front, right? Particularly now we're there with the team.
Thank you very much.
All right. Next order of business is to elect two new at-large voting body members. I'm going to explain a little bit about what this means, why this is going on, and then I'm going to take some nominations from the floor for anyone who would like to run for this position. So we had I guess from the end of last semester to the beginning of this semester, we had two of the voting council members resign, which means we have two vacancies. Now, when one of those students was a representing the master's students, and one of those students was representing the physical sciences, but when we have a resignation or a seat becomes vacant during the academic year, not when the voting normally occurs for positions, then it becomes an at-large seat, which means that any member of the GPSA, any graduate or professional student, whether you're master's, PhD, like I said, professional degree, you can run for this position. So, if there's not any questions on the logistics of why we're doing what we're about to do, great. I'll move into describing the process. I'll ask for nominations from the floor. You can nominate yourself, or someone else can nominate an individual. I'll open the floor for all nominations, and then when it seems that there's no more, I'll close the floor for nominations. Then we'll hear a 1 minute, 1 to 1.5 minute speech, or just a few words about why you think you're interested in serving on the GPSA as a voting council member. And first of all, are there any questions about the voting council, how that differs from this body? Because it's probably important if you're going to run for the position to know what the difference is. Are there any questions about that? Yeah.
Do you want to just give a run through?
Sure. So on the voting council, we ask you to attend one more meeting a month, so it's every other Monday instead of every fourth Monday. And at those meetings, which occur at the Big Red Barn, anyone's welcome to attend, whether you're a voting member or not. We discuss resolutions pertaining to matters affecting the university. So if we need to make a recommendation to the administration about, for this past semester, we worked on the activity fee a lot. We had to recommend to the Board of Trustees what we wanted the graduate student activity fee to be. This past semester, we also focused on one resolution related to child care. That was a pressing need that was brought to us by the constituents of the graduate and professional community, saying that there's been some drastic changes to the child care resolutions, and they asked us to work to address that. Ben and Creston did some good work, put together a resolution on that, which our body deliberated on and voted on. So matters such as that, any matter that we want to make a statement on to the administration, we discuss at these meetings and then vote on whether we want to make those, whether we want to present those resolutions or not. Also, we often ask that, I do ask, that each GPSA member try to think of particular things, whether it's from your own field or something affecting the graduate student community at large. That's a pet project that's particularly important to you that you would like to address. I know, for example, Leon, when he came on board, he realized that transportation was a real issue on campus, and so he's been working for the past several months with the Transportation Action Committee trying to move forward on issues of subsidizing transportation for graduate students. So matters such as that, I'd like for each voting member to think about those matters. So are there any other questions?
Is there any limit about how long you have to have been involved in
GPSA? No, actually, I showed up my first night here in this room in fall of 2007, and there was an open seat, and so I ran. Of course, everyone was wise enough not to elect me, but at that time. Any member who is currently sitting on the advisory body can run for election. Any other questions?
This term goes to the end of the year, correct?
This term goes to the end of the academic year because it's open, but you could run for re-election during the regular elections in April. All right, seeing none, I will take nominations from the floor. Can you nominate yourself or someone else? Srish?
I'd like to nominate Christopher Heckman.
Very good. Do you accept, Chris? All right. Very good. Let me keep a list. Leon?
I'd like to nominate Matt Becker.
Okay.
Here.
Zoe. Any other nominations? Yeah. Okay. Tom, you accept?
I
didn't ask you if you accepted that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good. Okay, anyone else? Yeah.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Evan?
Evan, music.
Okay. Anyone else? Hello?
How about you?
Very good. Julia? Anyone else? Very good. Okay. So I guess I'll just take, ask for a 1 minute, I guess to keep it under control, 1 minute speech about why you're interested in the position. Maybe we'll just start in the order the nominations were given. So, Christopher.
Should I give it here or?
No, please, just where you, wherever you are.
Okay.
You can stand or remain seated, whatever you want to do.
Hi, I'm Chris Heckman. I'm a PhD student in theoretical applied mechanics. I've been the graduate field representative since the beginning of this year, and I went to the GPSA meetings last year as a member of the SACIT committee. That is, this group has a representative in the CIT committee that SA has, and I've been on that the past 2 years. Mostly my projects and interests are in CIT, like information technology, policies related to privacy, graduate students. I brought up issues like that in my review of the minutes and at those meetings. I presented in front of this group once last year on that topic. I've also been in the events committee for Oristance for about a year now. I helped plan the graduate ball last year and just did the ice skating thing and have helped organize other sorts of events that have gone on. And discussions that I've been really involved with have been related to budget, and the Cornell Cinema issue was kind of a big one last year, and other issues like mostly related to CIT and budget. So.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Burke. And we'll have time for, I guess, maybe one or two questions at the end, but I'll take comments from all the candidates first. Matt?
Hi again. I'm Matt Decker. I'm the new representative from the Department of City and Regional Planning, and I am totally new to GPSA. This is my first time going to a meeting, but I ran and got elected in my department and came here because I'm interested in these kinds of things. You know, I'm a planner, I'm interested in Cornell's future. In terms of particular pet projects, I guess, you know, not to steal Leon's project, but I did a lot of transportation work when I lived in D.C. advocating for bus bike lanes on city streets. And that would be something I would love to kind of continue here, like working with TCAT to get maybe produced to our second year in addition to our first year. That's a silly distinction. And I guess that's pretty much it. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Tom?
My name is Tom Belsersky. I'm a graduate student in the Department of History, specifically in the field of humanities. This past year, I served on the Appropriations Committee, helping to decide student activity fees for graduate students and working with Chair Dave Wall. I also sit on the Academic Integrity Committee in Humanities, standing member. I was asked by Vice President Brian to work on the budget allocation model task force report this past semester, and I read it over and was attending the meeting on this Friday. I participated in the GPSA social events and attended voting body meetings in the past, and I participated also by commenting on our blog. My goals for this position would be to represent members in my field, blogging, and those outside of it as best I can. To increase participation rates among the fields of humanities by personally seeking representatives from vacant departmental reps. So, for example, the field of English, not have a representative, working with some of those folks that I do already in academic work, I'd like to see if we can fill that spot. I think I'd like to work to guide the assembly towards increasing collaborations with our undergraduate and university counterparts, especially student assembly and university assembly. And finally, I would like to support the executive leadership and the good work they've done so far, and the committee chairs on their various efforts. Well, lastly, I had a lot of interest in Cornell for undergraduate year. I consider myself fairly low key, so I'm very approachable. And I really just look forward to serving if you give me the opportunity.
Thanks, Tom. Now we'll hear from Evan.
My name is Evan Cortens. I'm the new-ish representative from music, so that also makes me part of the humanities. I'm a PhD student in music history, and I'm Canadian, so I bring an international flair to the body. I'm sure you can tell from my accent.
I don't have previous experience in student government, but I do have a lot of experience in service. I've served as a public relations officer for the Music Undergraduate Society back in Calgary. I was the first ever treasurer of the Boston University Music Society, and now this year I'm the president of Philomela, which is the society that represents graduate music students, composers, and historians. The reason I'm running for this position is it brings together two passions of mine. One is, of course, the humanities, something I've devoted my life to, and the other is, believe it or not, government. I'm someone who watches C-SPAN in my spare time, actually sometimes not even in my spare time. It's a bit of a bad habit. So I'm very interested in being involved in governing processes and being part of the Cornell community in that way. And likewise, the humanities. I know that, of course, now is a difficult time financially. On a mailing list that I'm on, a musicology mailing list, they've been talking about ways to approach inevitable cuts. And I know that the humanities is often one of the first to be cut when these sorts of things, because in many ways we don't produce the same sort of tangible products. So my goal here would be to advocate for the humanities specifically to the broader university community. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Hi, my name is Jolien Wilkins. I'm a graduate student. I've been still graduating from physics this year. What I'm passionate about is sustainability and environmental concerns. I've been involved with the Student Assembly Environmental Committee and the GPSA Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee this year, and I'm spearheading the LIGHTHOP project. So I guess what I bring to the GPSA voting council is interest in sustainability issues, as well as an overview of the physical sciences.
Thanks, sir. So, final one? Final nomination?
My name is Michael Siegel. I'm the field representative of the chemistry department. I guess the reason I nominated myself was that I just learned that there was the physical sciences piece that was favored, and being a member of the physical sciences, along with him as well. But I didn't realize what it was, but I figured it would be nice to keep it with somebody who represents that field. I have, in addition, I guess, tried to attend all of the voting council meetings when I can, so I am sort of reasonably up to date what has been discussed this year. And finally, I guess, what my pet project would be is something I have given thought about already, but now is a way to make the dining hall the Cornell has more accessible to graduate students. Things like originally the West Campus dining halls, which are, I think, very good meals, but it might be a bit too expensive for these grad students. And they don't feel it's worth it to go, although they're given a pretty good meal. So I think, well, maybe more of a practical thing versus maybe a grander that project that would be the project. Thank you.
Actually, I don't really think that we do have time for questions, but I do think all the candidates had a nice opportunity to express themselves and their views and why they think they could serve the body well. I would like to thank all of the candidates especially, because I don't think I've ever seen that much enthusiasm for that for the amount of seats that we have. So now in front of you have a piece of paper. On that piece of paper, please write two names. I will list the names in order. Please, you can just give a first name. It'll make it easier. I was going to try to write them up there, but I don't... Okay. Well, it's all right. So we have Christopher, Nat, Tom, Evan, Jolion, Michael. Is that correct? Is that the full list? Write two names. The two names with the highest number of votes will be our new voting members.
Canadian?
Yeah.
We will move as,
we don't, we don't have
as fast as we can. I'm tallying these up, and then we will adjourn immediately after. We'll adjourn immediately after the votes are announced, and Erica will start the open forum while we're adding up the votes.
If there's any matters in the open forum.
Erica, yes. I'd like to make a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes.
Okay.
Second.
There's a motion, and there's a second. Okay. It's extended. Yeah, I was going to say another good reason to join the voting committee is to get more experience with Robert's rules. So we are extending the meeting for 10 more minutes, and I guess this is a good time to start open forum. Is there anything that anyone wants to bring up at all during the next few minutes? Any qualms, concerns, group therapy?
I'm a member of the Theoretical Applied Mechanics.
Yes.
And when you dodged the question about how our department is doing and everything, I wanted to say something, but since this is a better group, I think I'll say a few things, if I may.
Yes, please.
We feel that members are, I mean, like, there is some loss of support without the department being there. We have no more, like, student secretary to help us with anything related to, you know, like, what courses we need to sign up for, when we need to have people on our committees or anything like that. The new members of the field don't really have much direction either, so that's, it's kind of been, things are adrift. And when you said things aren't really worked out too well, you know, they're still working things out. That means that there's like chaos in some areas of how, you know, the department's running. So, I don't know, I mean, like I have to say, it's been kind of hard for most of our members. I didn't really get involved in GPSA until after that happened. And I was just thinking, like, if there's any way it could have been, like, averted if, you know, we did have active participation in it, but it's hard to say.
Good. Anything else?
Do you not have, I mean, the term absorption, do you not have a community department that
So mechanical engineering has a lot of different like policies with relation to their students and funding structures and everything compared to the private science department. So there's questions of whether we should be following their policies related to how people get TAs or research assistantships or anything like that, or whether we should be like kind of preserving the old structure. And the two are distinctly different. There's like a different view of how people get funded and how we accept students in the different fields and everything. So while we do have support and somebody that we can go to, if we ask that person about like how can we graduate, usually that person is powerless to answer us because they're not familiar with how our field operates and there's some ambiguity between the two of them.
So are there any efforts being made to train the existing staff in the mechanical engineering to train them on how your section of the students are therefore
I believe that stemming from friction related to, this is my personal opinion, stemming from friction related to how the professors think that things should be run in the different departments, we're getting the same talk that the mechanical engineers and aerospace engineers are getting. Even though when we talk to our own faculty advisors, that may be distinctly different from what our student affairs advisor would say. So, I mean, they're... In that respect, they're learning things that when we say our advisor told us this, but other than that, you know, the department chair isn't really, you know, if there are a lot of people with different opinions, I guess.
All right, well, I guess we'll move on to the announcements of the elections then. On a quite close vote, always, we have the two, please congratulate our two new members of the voting council, Tom Balsersky and Christopher Heckman. So, Tom and Chris, if you could just give me briefly after the meeting.
Okay. Well, we've extended the meeting for a few more minutes. If there's anything else anyone else wants to bring up during open forum, any comments on the presentations you saw today that you didn't have a chance to talk about?
A different topic. I wanted to thank everybody for forwarding the information about the entrepreneurship for scientists. It was actually much more well attended than I anticipated, which I think speaks to the importance of when you get emails like these. I feel like it's passed before we went along, but people attended who I didn't anticipate would show up. So I think there's definitely interest when we forward along this information.
I guess I'd like to just ask one question. If I could get any feedback, just informally, about how to sort of help representatives, non-voting representatives specifically, be more engaged. I mean, if you guys can shoot me an email or bring something up now, I'd be really open to feedback. Yes.
You know, even so, showing up here once a month, it would be great to do one time to the whole thing.
Right. Right.
So maybe if there was maybe one night a month when it wasn't talking business, like meeting up and open up. No surprise,
So actually, just to follow up on that, we are planning on having every semester sort of a coffee evening or a coffee hour at the bigger dorm. We had one last semester, but I think it was just a timing thing. It was a Monday evening, and only people who showed up were people who were already on the voting council. So it was more of an opportunity for the voting council to get to know all the representatives. So, hopefully, that should be done in that committee. We'll plan it, and then we'll send out the emails, and that way you can come attend that coffee hour.
Thank you. Yes, we've gotten that feedback before, and I've definitely been trying to work with the events committee and just to try and make the meetings here, you know, a little bit more fun at the beginning and getting to know each other.
And if there's anything about the layout, I mean, this is pretty formal. It was, you know, the audience style, which I think was even worse when we had in that room over there across the hall last semester. So, you know, talk to us if there's something we can do. I don't facilitate meetings. I'm not a spatial planner. You know, we benefit from your counsel.
Anything else? Okay, great. Oh, next person.
Shameless plug, on February 13th, there's going to be a dance party at the Shanty Loft that I'll be DJing.
Is there a certain theme for that?
It's dance therapy this time, the poster. So we're going through the stages of a relationship. We start off with everything's fine, then the breakdown, and then a slow recovery, and then, uh-oh, you're back in love.
Great.
And what is your name as a DJ?
I am DJ DIY.
All right, very good. So please join the respectable DJ.
DJ. Okay, anything else?
Motion to adjourn, Madam Chairman.
Yes, okay. Motion granted.
Second.
And, oh, okay. So, yeah.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for staying a few extra minutes.
And, what was I
saying to you? Actually,
what?
Point of order.
We didn't what? The meeting's still going on.
It never ended. It's
Don't forget
to
okay.
realized that there's a we're prioritizing the delegation and what the
I think
you'd be really positive about it.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.